Well, the portal really is going to simplify how users find information and bring all that information together in one place. NARA has more than 13 million records online in three different systems. Carol Lugundo is NARA's services technical lead for its OPA.
The significant improvement in this is that before you would have to search archives.gov, you would have to search ARC, and you'd have to search AAD just to get these results.
Right.
You know, everything's stovepipe, now it's brought together in one streamlined search.
Now, also bringing together in these three separate systems together, Lugundo says users now will be able to just see a list of records. They'll see the contextual information that goes along with those records, such as date, type of material, whether it's a picture or a document or a movie, and actually the physical location of that material. So if you want to go to the National Archives site, either in College Park or in Washington, D.C., You know where to find it. It's almost like the call numbers in the library in some ways.
Back when we had Dewey Decimal Systems.
I'm sure they still use it. It never goes away. And finally, users can click on a picture or a movie and view it right there on the screen. One common complaint from researchers was that the thumbnail picture they'd get, they couldn't be enlarged. They really couldn't see what it was. They would just see it's a picture.
Right. There's something there, but you can't really tell what it is.
Now it blows up really big, and you can actually watch the movies if they have a movie from World War II, from JFK assassination, from whenever.
Wow.
It's right there. They can watch it. Pam Wright is NARA's chief digital access strategist. She says OPA will change the way that people find and use archives records.
The big picture thinking was we're going to take everything, wherever we have it online, the descriptions of stuff, the stuff itself, anywhere, and pull it together in one streamlined search. So we have, like I said, the online catalog, and we also wanted to put the presidential library websites on there as well. We wanted streamlined search, a display and navigation that's really useful and actually appealing, and people like to use it. We wanted useful, timely statistics. We wanted to have some social media aspects to it, and many of the pilots that have blossomed over the last year at NARA have come out of this group that's working on this. And we also wanted to look to the future with visualization and mashups, but most particularly citizen engagement. So it's no longer just okay to provide access to our records. What we're talking about is how do people want to interact with those records.
Now, NARA launched the online public access portal about December 27th. It can be found at www.archives.gov/research/search. We'll link that up on federalnewsradio.com later today, make it real easy for everyone to find.
Yeah, because that's a little bit too much backslashes.
I thought it would just be opa.gov, and when I went there, it was archives.gov.
They're really calling it OPA?
OPA.
Yeah, of course.
Online public access.
Sure, fine. That's easy for people to remember. Give us a sense of how this portal, I was actually plunking around on it a little bit yesterday, and is it like, I mean, are we talking Google, Bing, whatever search engine you use, is it that easy?
In some ways, it's exactly like that. You put a search term in, things come up. Now, Lugundo describes the results for search of records from a famous World War II poster called We Can Do It. That's the one with the woman flexing her muscles.
Yeah, big arms up in the air.
Exactly.
Right.
So,
over on the left-hand side, we have what are called topic clusters, which we didn't tweak any of this functionality. This is basic, out-of-the-box Vivissimo. And so, based on the search that you ran, it'll offer up other searches that you might want to run for related records. You can refine your search results by data source if you only want to see the archives.gov results, or maybe you're only interested in the archival descriptions or the authority records. You can refine by the level of description, which is for archivists and experienced researchers, pretty important refinement, so that if you only want to see file unit records or item records, you can do that from there. You can also refine by date, by the type of archival materials, by the file format for digital objects that are attached to the descriptions, and then by location. And then over on the right-hand side, you'll see that all the results are grouped. So the initial grouping are all of the online holdings. The second are all of the catalog descriptions. The third is all of the archives.gov results. And then the fourth is the authority records.
Now, the search also differentiates between what's online and what isn't. This was another common complaint by researchers. They couldn't tell, so can I get this online? Do I have to go and show up in person? The researchers also said that the contextual description information really wasn't that helpful just because it's there. So what they did was they can now have real-time access to that contextual information. Click on it, move down, click on it. You can actually go through all this different information instead of it just knowing it's there. Now you actually can see it and use it. Now, Wright adds that the search engine actually learns from the search and by the clicks that the researcher are making, so the results will change over time and improve. And, of course, there's an advanced search page for historians and others who really know what they're looking for versus you or me or someone doing a paper for college or high school saying, I need something that's X, and then they go look for it. And, of course, all that data can be exported, HTML, XML, or just as a text file. So they're really trying to make it more user-friendly and easier for you, me, and the most complex search by historians and researchers.
Right, sort of whatever level you may be searching for something, BMO. And that was part of the challenge they faced was they have all these different types of users that are coming at them.
Absolutely true. And you know, the real serious researchers, they want different data than you and I would, but they still need to put it all in one place because they can't differentiate. And that's what I think they got caught up in that with the different databases.
So they're not done yet, though. They're working on some other things. What else are they working on?
Well, absolutely. NARA has some ideas of how to make the search engine better, especially because the amount of data that they're going to get is going to increase dramatically over the next year. Under the Electronic Records Archives program, the ERA program, the goal is to add 10 terabytes of data per quarter or 40 terabytes of data in 2011 alone. Wright says NARA has some ideas for changes, but it's also asking for feedback after this initial launch of the OPA portal.
Other capabilities that it will have over the year, we're going to have Zoom, which is just vital for handwritten documents. You just have to have that. And especially the 1940 census will be coming out in 2012. We want people to be able to use it online. And so we've got Zoom capabilities coming up. We're also going to do social sharing so that you can share. If you see something you really love, you can share it on Facebook, Twitter, tons of other areas as well. We're also getting storage that's scalable because we're getting more and more stuff, so we're continuing to develop the storage throughout this year as well.
Now, Wright adds that NARA has also talked to the archive agencies in the UK, in Canada, and Australia about how they provide access to their historical data and records, and that's helped actually create the vision of where OPA is heading. In fact, Wright says NARA's own employees have liked the prototype so much that they actually refused to give up control of the prototype. Yeah. You know, they didn't want to stop using it and go back to the old way. They said it's been used, it's been such a good example, it's been used so much by the people within there that's why the portal
pretty good testament of how
exactly.
It works, isn't it?
And that's why it's actually so much more advanced today than they had originally planned.
Yeah. So we talked just before the end of the year, before we went away out for the break, we talked about the National Archives, their electronic records archiving system, ERA, the contract with Lockheed Martin, and they were putting it aside, essentially not moving forward further on it was the crux of it. That have any connection to this?
In some ways it does, in some ways it doesn't. Now remember, ERA is one of those systems that OPA brings together.
Right.
So it feeds into it. However, the funding and the work on it is separate from the online public access. So ERA, they're going to not renew the contract with Lockheed Martin at the end of 2011, but OPA will continue. Now, the bigger issue is the budget. Hmm. Now, Congress has allocated or has put in the appropriations bill that's yet to be passed, about $72 million for NARA and ERA. Part of that would go to OPA. But because that's not passed yet, they're working on 2010 funding. So we're not really sure what's going to happen. They could actually see cuts, just like the rest of the government.
Yeah.
So they do have a prioritization plan in place should Congress not come through with additional funding. Wright says if they'd have to, they could go into maintenance mode because the prototype is so much more robust than originally thought. Well, so they do have plans around it. They do realize that this is a challenge, but they're pretty satisfied with where it's at now. And, you know, one of the prioritizations is that Zoom feature, because they realize that researchers, when they see, for instance, the 1940 census data that's coming, they're going to want to really get into the details of that. And if you got to download it, that's a lot of information to download, well, even from 1940.
This sounds like really, you know, oftentimes we hear complaints and we think, oh, people just complaining. This is an opportunity where complaints are really can help guide you. These are the people who really are crying out to you saying, hold on, I need this to do my job. Can you help me?
Exactly. And NARA says, you know, we understand that. We want to make it better. We want to make it easier. And we've listened, and here we go. And this, it's a pretty good site. Now, you know, I was using it as earlier today as you were, and the one complaint I'll tell you that I found is the search engine is a little slow.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm just spoiled. I mean, you know, we are an impatient culture. So
when I remember a couple years ago, there was the Google and Microsoft and all the search engine folks came to the government and said, hold on, we can't spider essentially your sites because they didn't have certain coding. Has that been resolved now? Did Did they talk about that at all?
Now, NARA did not talk about it, but I do remember that back OMB at one point, Karen Evans, when she was the eGov administrator, did talk about fixing that problem. How far they've gotten, I'm not sure. That maybe that's something we need to follow up on.
Yeah, so something, whether these actually crosses, are they Googleable in addition to being having to go to this site specifically?
And you wonder if that part of that, it's not part of the cookie policy, but it's another piece to that. Yeah. Can the government kind of come up into the 21st century in terms of how the internet works and how it reacts to their sites?
Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. He'll have more online, federalnewsradio.com.
And tomorrow?
And tomorrow on The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris. Thank you.